Hello and welcome to another thought for the day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's come to prayer as we come before God's word. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this new day. Thank you for all of your blessings. Thank you for the way that you revealed yourself to us and speak to us in your word. And we ask that as we join in that word this morning, you will do so, that you will encourage our hearts and thrill us with your purpose in our lives, both individually and as a church. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So we now track through Ephesians, that glorious letter of Paul to the church at Ephesus. We've now come to Ephesians chapter 2 and we're reading verses 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So it's a plain picture for us to see, actually. It's two or three pictures. Starts with the word consequently. Well, what do we do with that? We have to look backwards and see what that consequence is based on. And the previous verse says this: for through him we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. So because of that, because we have access to the Father through the Spirit, because of the Son, so this is a Trinitarian process, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. You belong to God's people. You are a citizen in the province, in the people of God. You have an identity as a nation. You are part of that great Christian community, which is the church, and you have a place within it. You have rights as a citizen in God's kingdom. He has included you in all of his best place of blessedness in his kingdom, and nothing will take you from it. And he is determined to invest in you all of the goodness that these citizens inherit. Secondly, he says you are members of his household. No, not just belonging to a people, to a nation. You're not only a citizen, you're actually a family member. So there is a closeness about this. You draw near. That previous verse talks about our access to God the Father, and that we come to him as children. We are his sons, we are his daughters, and we can come to Dad whenever we wish to and turn to him in our need and call to him as our Father. But then that third picture is what we want to major on this morning. We are being built. Previously in this same chapter, Paul has talked about God's demolition work. What does God do by way of demolition? Well, he breaks down a wall. He breaks down the wall of hostility that existed between the Jew and the Gentile. What was that about? Well, it was about the fact that the Jews had been given all of this revelation of God, and the Gentiles had not. The Jews had been given the law of God in the commandments of the Old Testament, but the Gentiles had not. The Jews were called the people of God, the Gentiles were not. And that caused hostility between the two. That hostility is now removed. God has broken down the wall. But in its place, he is building. And what is he building? Well, look at this glorious purpose. Here is what he is building. He is building a dwelling place in which he will live by his Spirit. He's building a temple. And you only have to look back into all of the Old Testament and see the history of the temple among the Jews, that place in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, where God chose to erect a glorious inhabitants for his purpose. And specifically, he demonstrates his presence among his people in that nation, in that physical nation, by the presence of the temple in their midst, the dwelling place of God, to which they came to worship and to sacrifice. Well, God is dispensing with that. There is no physical temple now before us, but we are to be his spiritual temple, and we are going to be inhabited, invaded, if you like, infused by his Holy Spirit. We are the living temple of God on this earth. Now, isn't that glorious? That God himself, the holy, precious, pure, righteous, glorious God, should actually deign to live amongst human beings, but not only amongst, but within them. Now, how's that going to happen? Well, it will happen because he is about this work of building. And there are three brief things to note. First of all, there is a firm foundation. And we sing that hymn, don't we? Our firm foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. Well, here is where God says he places his foundation stones, and how important it is that those stones are strong enough, certain enough to hold up the whole building. We have a little bit of an experience of that with the present work that is going on in our church with the extension at the back. They dug down in order to lay the foundations, and then the building inspectors came along and they said, that's not deep enough, because the level at which you've dug to is not firm enough to actually hold the foundations on which this extension is going to be built. We had to actually go down deeper in order to do that. Well, God doesn't make mistakes, and God does this most certainly, because the foundation that is laid for us is the foundation of these apostles and prophets. What does that mean? It means it's the way that God revealed himself at the beginning of the New Testament times. The age in which we now live was founded upon the life of these men, the apostles, who were also prophets, the way that God spoke into our world and established the authority of his teaching and his revelation. And for us, that means our Bibles, doesn't it? Here is where we have the written records of those apostles and prophets, and here is where we refer for our authority and our foundational truths. So first of all, a firm foundation. Second, a perfect cornerstone. And here is no doubt at all to be left in anyone's mind. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone that the builders reject, Peter says, and he's become the main cornerstone, the chief stone from which all of the other walls in the building are measured. This was the importance of the cornerstone. The cornerstone was the best stone they could find, and it was perfectly straight. All of the angles were at perfect 90 degree angles, and from it all of the walls actually took their measure. Without that, if any of those angles are off, you get round the other side, and where that final corner comes together, the walls won't meet, and your building has to actually go back to square one and be started again. But if the cornerstone is true, the whole building is sound and the whole building is straight. So how do we make sure that we are doing what we should do as a church, living as we should do as individuals? We measure ourselves by that cornerstone. We look at his word. We ask his spirit to speak that word into our hearts and build what it teaches into our lives. And we measure ourselves by the person who is Jesus Christ, our chief cornerstone. Then thirdly, we see, and this is a bit of a trick, we have a certain cement. You'll have to forgive my liberty that I'm taking with that. Of course, when they built temples in those days, they didn't really use cement. They just put the big, large stones one on top of another. But you see, this whole building is joined together, our text tells us. So when God builds Christians into the church, there's no mistake made in the way that they interact with one another. Sometimes we run into problems, don't we, with the way that we actually deal with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to actually search that out, because it's there beneath the surface. What God has done in his building doesn't actually make mistakes in that respect. And we might actually get it wrong sometimes in our minds and in our hearts. And we have to seek out what we should be thinking, how we should be feeling towards our brothers and sisters, and how we deal with them, how we treat them, and how we react to their treatment of us. God's cement is a certain cement. It is the cement of love. Jesus commands, love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. So here it is, this glorious building that God is about. You are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So finally, let me challenge you. In these days after lockdown, are you re-establishing your connection in your physical church? Are you going along? Are you being there? Because there's no point in having a hole instead of a stone in the place where you should be in your fellowship. Your church needs you, and it needs you to be there for the living Lord whom you serve. Let's come to him in prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you that it is your job, your task to build it, and you are about that task, that you are building us together into that dwelling place. And by a dwelling place, we read here and we understand that it will be where your Holy Spirit fills and flows over into the world so that the world can see who you are and can see your glory. So be within us today, we pray. Challenge our thinking so that we might do this properly and be what we should be. Amen.